I remember I was driving, and I tell people this, which is just crazy how good God is, but, you know, drove drunk and high all the time when I was not following Jesus. And I was driving drunk and high one night home, and this was prior to everything that year. And I remember I was almost off the highway where I lived, and I felt like God was next to me in the passenger seat. Right. And nothing can sober you up quicker than that, right? and I just feel this, like through the Spirit, however you want to audibly, whatever, God say to me, like, why are you back in this place?
I'm Bonnie Kibuka. On my podcast, the Ugandan Boy Talk Show, I've had an honor to sit down with some of the most incredible hearts and minds from Uganda, like Miss Uganda Oliver Nakakande, Joram Ozoy Job, the Executive Director of Joram Model Management, Pastor Wilson Bugembe, and many, many more. On this podcast, you get to hear raw and real life stories of their journey, what they've been through, and the people that have inspired their journey so that they can make a difference in ours. Listen to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Join the journey soon.
Carlos Beloa. Beloa.
They rolled the tongue. That's how I was remembering Great Lakes. Jay Quinn. Jay
Quinn. Like, yes. My workmates have been messing with me because I don't have an R in my in my words. Like, I can say the R beginning with, but like if it's like car, I can say car. But there was a word they were trying to make, carbon. 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 Yeah. So like carbon.
Carbon. Well, it's funny though, because I was just telling somebody the other day, they were messing with me, and I said, listen, I grew up with a father that his you know, first language is Spanish.
Yeah.
So I learned English from him, and I said, there's some words I don't pronounce well. I said the other day, I said woof, like as a wolf. Mm-hmm. But my friend was like, are you saying wolf or woof? I'm like, woof.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's wolf. And I was like, bro. Same thing. I'm like, my dad didn't teach me good English. So yeah, it's fine.
The problem of being like African, like a foreigner in America, it's hectic.
Oh, it's
Pastor Carlos.
Welcome to my podcast, brother.
I appreciate it, brother. Hey, man, I'm blessed to be here. This is Pulse Uganda, 2-time podcast influencer of the year, man. I'm thankful to be here, man. I'm excited to be with you, my brother.
It's funny when we were talking about the podcast, like when I started it. I was just in my bedroom. I'm like, oh, I like to talk. I'm just going to get this thing up and just start talking. And that's how I started, just to share my story. Yeah. Because I wanted to impact my friends, my childhood friends back in Uganda, who God has blessed me to be where I'm at today. But there's a lot of kids back there who need hope, who need inspiration, who need... Yeah. They feel like their life is at the edge. But like I walk them through my life, how I was raised. And maybe most of them are at the point where I was when I was in Uganda. Yeah. And to see where God has brought me might give them some type of hope.
Of course.
So I did that for a while. But then I was like, there's a lot of other people out there that have different stories, different journeys. When they share their story on my podcast,
of course,
it's going to inspire one person, two people. So
100%.
That's the beginning of the podcast, is just to inspire and encourage somebody out there. So I'm glad to have you on here today. You're one of the people that I don't know what to say, inspire, but like when you talk, like it's just like it's fun. Even when we're joking about stuff, it's just fun to talk to you. So I'm glad to have you on the podcast.
I appreciate it, man. I'm very thankful, man. It's been cool to see, as we just talked about prior to this, just to see your journey, man, to see where you've come from, to see how this has grown, the way God is using you in this avenue, and this, again, it's a cool way to kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit and step into something that you felt like, hey, let's try this, and to see where it is now. Now I'm over here just in this amazing studio, you know what I'm saying? It is, though, to go from our Chick-fil-A Great Lakes days, man, sitting there chopping it up, me and each other, how many years ago now?
Speaking of Chick-fil-A, I have something for you up
hey,
here.
Hey, let's go! Hey, that brings it back, man.
I had a surprise for you here.
Hey, that's what's that, like five years ago?
This was 2017.
Yeah, so no, it's longer. Seven.
Yeah, Because I had to go in my Google Drive to look it up. I was going to just ask you, what do you, if you remember that.
But I remember,
you said it before even I asked you.
That's crazy, though, man. That was, that would have been around the that first year we met, Great Lakes.
Yep. I remember that day because I hit you up. I was like, hey, bro, I need to talk to you. Like, I wanted somebody to talk to. And say, hey, let's go grab lunch. Let's go grab lunch. Yeah. And I was trying to see, was I driving? No, he was driving because he was on the other side.
I don't even know what car. What car is that I'm driving? Is that my parents' car?
I don't know. You picked me up at Great Lakes because I know I lived in the dorms.
Yeah, that's Yeah, man.
But like what I'm trying to say is like you from Great Lakes, and I'm thankful for Great Lakes because I've built this relationship with people that I'm blessed to even still have around, like Terry, Jaquin, Q, everybody. For a person who came from Uganda, my family is 8,000 miles away, and to have these people in my life, like guiding me. But yeah, we met at Great Lakes, and what do you remember? But besides the picture of Chick-fil-A, what's your memory of Great Lakes that you remember, or something that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was always weird for me because Great Lakes was a part of my life, or a time in my life when I kind of was, you know, really changing everything, the way I used to live, the person I used to be. I felt this call to ministry, and then all of a sudden was like, what do I do about that? Where do I go? And my dad had graduated from Great Lakes early on, in the late 90s. And so he just kind of said, what about Great Lakes? And so I had no idea what that looked like. I had no idea what I was walking into. I had, you know, went to three other schools prior to that, played college baseball. So again, this was like a new territory for me. Grew up in a Christian home, but I never studied the Bible or knew scripture in that way. So even walking into it and meeting these kids who are like, oh yeah, I know I'm from this homeschool family, and all we did was read the Bible 3 hours a day. And I'm like, oh, you know, let's take this test. I remember John Nugent said, hey, we're going to do this, you know, in our entry level class, we're going to do a little, almost a Bible test to see what your percentage is on what you know about the Bible. I remember I got it back and I was like, it was out of 100. And I was like, so I only got 9, right? Is that pretty good? And then, you know, the kid next to me who, you know, definitely knew his scriptures, like, oh yeah, it was a 87%. I'm a little upset. I'm like, oh yeah, for sure, that's mine too. But I think for me it was a culture shock of like, this is different, this is new. I think just even in the stage of life I was in, getting to connect with people like you, I think for me I love the melting pot of people. I was not expecting to meet a Ugandan, you know, at Great Lakes, as you brought up Terry and Jay Quinn and Q, those people, you know, even just being able to connect with people who, I thought it was cool to feel like, even though it was out of my comfort zone, there still was people there that were my comfort, or people that reminded me of my family and my friends prior to Great Lakes. Cause like I said, it was a big change in my life. There was people who had left my life, you know, because of my choice to follow Jesus, especially to choose to step into ministry. And so it was a challenge to walk in there. And for me, it was getting to connect with new people in my life and make new friends. And as you said, those are people that are, you guys are friends for life, man. Yeah. Even though we may not talk all the time, we may not see each other all the time. I'm very thankful for people like you and to have people in my life that I got to connect with and now I get to have in my life until we, you know, till the next.
When you came at Great Lakes the first time, did you want to do like pastoral ministry? Was that the thing that when you came the first time, or is this something you picked up while you were there?
Yeah, I think, well, so I knew I wanted to be in ministry, but again, I didn't know what that looked like. Yeah. So when I felt that calling from God, I remember sitting there and talking to my mom and my dad, and I said, I feel like I'm getting this tug to ministry. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? No idea. What type of ministry? No idea. In a church? No idea. So that first bit when I started at Great Lakes was really me just, number one, I mean, learning who Jesus was, learning what it means to follow Jesus, learning what it means to teach other people about Jesus. That's where I was at. I had no idea if that was a pastor, what type of pastor, none of that. So that whole like first year was me kind of going through that process of what do I feel called to within ministry? Having people around me, especially the professors, being able to speak into or affirm me as to, you know, what it is I'm feeling like I'm called to or what I'm gifted in. And so, yeah, I had no clue, truly. When I started at Great Lakes, I didn't know what that meant. I think my dad being a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, I probably would have said that if you asked Carlos in 2017, like, hey, you know, what do you want to do? Oh, yeah, I want to be a pastor. But I had no clue if that meant in kids ministry, youth, whatever that may be. So, yeah, that was kind of me going through that process of that first year, really just me growing in knowledge and understanding of who God is and his word. So
the reason why I asked the question is, for me, who has seen you since Great Lakes and seeing you today, when I go to the church you preach at, my memories go back. Every time I see you up on the pulpit preaching, I'm like, you can tell, like, God's direction in your life, because even when you're at Great Lakes, you're a person who loves people for who they, like, no matter who you are, you're gonna love everybody. You always have a smile on your face. You always welcome everybody. You don't judge people what they do, what they dress. You just feel right in and just make them feel comfortable. And for me to watch you today be a pastor at the church that I go to, it's amazing to see a relationship with the kids, the youth at the church, seeing pictures on Instagram, how you associate with them. It just makes me happy. I'm like, yeah, this guy was built for this. This is what Carlos was built for.
So that,
it's really amazing. I love that. I love your heart. I love, because you preach Jesus, but you live that. Like, not only do you just say it on Sunday, but you leave that and you try to be in people's lives. So that's been amazing. And that picture I put up right there, that's for me, that's my best explanation. Like, from day one, like, you've always been there. Like, even when I moved to Ascoda and we took a long time without communicating.
Yeah.
Come back and just go right at it.
Yeah, you had to go way up there in the boonies. I'm like, I know there ain't no Ugandans that been up in Oscar. I'm like, I don't know if I can go up there. There ain't no Cubans that been up there either, man. But no, it is. Yeah, I remember that. I remember when you went way up there and it was kind of like, man, you know, Bonnie's going to be far away. I remember us having that conversation, especially because you were at River's Edge. And even, it's crazy because even Emily, I met Emily in my class, and I still remember meeting Emily, and then all of a sudden, you know, seeing what's came to be with you and Emily, you know, obviously. So yeah, it is. It's cool to see that full circle and the connections that, you know, we made. But yeah, it was. I remember you moving up there, and I'm like, dang, that's gonna be forever away.
That was a tough time. That's a story for another day.
That's
I think I've said that actually on the podcast before. My story up there.
Yeah.
When you were talking, actually, you just talked about Cuban. Are you Cuban or are you from Puerto Rico? So explain that to me.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is the topic of debate within my own family. So my father was born in Cuba in 1962. And then in 1964, I mean, prior to that, my abuelo ended up, which abuelo means grandfather in Spanish. He escaped from Cuba. And that's a whole story within itself. You know, if people know Cuban history, obviously a communist country when Fidel Castro took over, and it was not a place you wanted to live and raise a family. And so my abuelo ended up getting caught up in a group that was helping Cuban children get on U.S. cargo ships illegally with the U.S. Navy men, and basically getting them to America for a better life. And so my abuelo, basically in that whole group, Fidel Castro ordered all of them to be found and killed. And he was able to escape before that happened to him. And so he bounced around Mexico, Florida, you know, New York, and then landed in Puerto Rico. And then basically 2 years later, so my dad was born when my abuelo had escaped. So my dad had never met his father until he was 2 years old in 1964. They got to Puerto Rico finally, and then he met my grandfather for the first time. And so my family's bloodline is Cuban.
Okay.
But my dad was 2 when he made it to Puerto Rico. So all my father knows is Puerto Rican. So I word it this way. I'm Cuban, but really I grew up in America, right? So even if you want to go even smaller than that, I'm from Lansing, Michigan. So like my culture is Lansing, Michigan. The people I grew up around, how I act is from that culture. My father talks Spanish like a Puerto Rican. He acts like a Puerto Rican. He eats Puerto Rican food, you know, so his culture is Puerto Rican, but his blood is Cuban. So for me, if I get asked, what are you? I didn't grow up in Puerto Rico. I grew up here. Technically, culturally, I'm an American, but my blood is Cuban. Okay. So me and my brother, we have this debate all the time. My brother's like, no, we're Puerto Rican. I'm like, no, we're Cuban. But yeah, that's my best way to explain it. So
that makes a lot of sense. Because I was going to follow up with some questions. If you grew up outside, the U.S., but growing up in the U.S. explained. Yeah. Did your parents teach you Spanish?
So my dad did not, which is always something I'm still kind of salty about. Okay. But it was one of those where I think he was... Truly, I think it was just something that just didn't happen. He didn't really speak Spanish. He didn't speak Spanish at home. My mom is from Lansing. She's white. So my mom understood Spanish to an extent, but she didn't speak Spanish. So everything that got talked at home was English.
Okay.
So we didn't learn it growing up. So me, my brother and sister aren't bilingual. Mm-hmm. And then I get to see all my cousins who are bilingual and get to speak both. So yeah, truly it was just that it wasn't spoken at home. And then I never ended up learning it, which is, you know, my name is Carlos Luis Beroa, and I don't speak Spanish, which is pretty embarrassing. I'm like, everybody meets me and hears my name and they start speaking to me in Spanish. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't understand.
That's crazy. So yep. Have you picked up on any words? Like, are there words?
Of course. I mean, as people make fun of me, I can understand if I'm immersed in it, if I'm spending time there. When I was living, because we lived in Puerto Rico for 4 years when I was younger, because my dad helped plant a church down there, and so I was picking up on Spanish because I was the youngest of my siblings, so I started to get it a little bit. But then we moved back up here to the States and I just lost it. Never spoke it again.
That's me. My mom is Kenyan and I never got to learn her language. I can greet and all that, but that's pretty much what I can say.
I know, man. It's sad,
but
I'm pass it on to our kids, man.
I'm gonna try to see if I can teach Isla Luganda, but I don't know. It's tough.
You got it though. You got to try.
What was your childhood memory? What's your favorite childhood memory that you remember?
Oh man, my favorite childhood memory. I think so. I played baseball growing up, so a lot of my a lot of my life was just consumed by baseball. And so I think one of my favorite childhood memories would be an 11 and under baseball team. We were a travel baseball team. We made it to the World Series in St. Louis, Missouri.
Was that called 7549? Whatever. I remember we did some ads at Great Lakes and we had you help us on our project where we were doing a drug, something like this drug will help you. So we had you... you remember that?
Yes.
That skit that you did?
Yep.
I'm Carlos Beloa. And every time I do this, he'll help me do this. I forgot.
We got to find that video. Yeah. I've not seen that from. Yeah. So, literally, that's all I did was grew up playing baseball most of my life. And so, really, my favorite memories are always going on baseball trips. So, just me and my family, St. Louis, I don't know if you remember the car Intrepid. It's like an old school Bolt type car. Yeah. We all got into this car, my family of five, crammed in there, my big brother, big sister, me and my mom and dad, and drove to St. Louis and spent a week down there at this World Series and things like that. Just memories with my friends that are still my friends till this day when we played baseball together. Always remembering those times. And I just think family time like that, taking trips together, just builds a bond and a relationship like never before. So,
and you went up to semi-pro or you pro?
I did. I played independent baseball, which basically just means that we aren't affiliated with a major league team, but we're similar to what we'd have here, like Lansing Lugnuts, single A. I played basically a single A, independent professional baseball. So I did that for a season, and then God said, time to hang up the cleats.
But you still were part of baseball because you coached the younger team.
Yeah, I've coached high school ball. I've done that for a while. I think it's always been hard for me because baseball was such a big part of my life. And I always have that struggle of God had me do this for I did it for so long. I was blessed with this talent, played for so long, and then for it to just kind of be gone and done and not in a way taken away, but it felt like that at one point in my life where why did I do all this just for me to have it not be around anymore? Mm-hmm. And I always say back now as someone now who's following Jesus, prior to that, I really wasn't. I was living a pretty crazy lifestyle when I was a baseball player. And I think just to think back on, truly for me, God saved me from a lot more of heartache, a lot more of pain and trauma, I think that would have came with it if I kept living in the lifestyle I was. And I think that door closing for me, even though at the time I looked at it as punishment or, something that I was angry about, now I can look back on it and see that God had purpose in that door closing because there was a reason for it. I would not be where I am now if I stayed on that path I was in. I know that for a fact. So yeah, I think it was something I loved to do, but it wasn't something that was helping me spiritually. It wasn't anything to do with an overflow in a good way around the people around me. So
let's dig into that a little, because that was going to be my next question on your faith and your journey with Christ, how you met Christ. Because I've mentioned on my podcast that I didn't label this podcast like a Christian podcast, because I've hosted people who are not Christians. Yeah. I've hosted people who are Christians. But every time, what's different with my podcast, like every time I have an opportunity to talk about Jesus, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Like it doesn't matter what we're talking about, but if I get any time to talk about God, I'll talk about that. And we talked about Great Lakes at the beginning because that's where we met. Mm-hmm. Now you just touched on like you giving your life to Christ and how it saved you. What was that moment for you when you knew or you decided to give your life to Christ?
Yeah.
What made you get to that?
So in 2015, my dad and my sister went into the hospital only a day apart. And so my dad ended up going in with stomach pain and he didn't know what was going on. His stomach felt like it was burning on the inside. And so I woke up early in the morning, came downstairs. He was in the kitchen. And so when I ended up taking him in to the hospital, before that, my sister had really bad pneumonia, and she would always get pneumonia really bad, and then just kind of obviously go through the process and get better. So a day before that, I had taken my sister into the urgent care, and she could barely even get out of the car to walk because she couldn't breathe. And so they ended up rushing her to the hospital because of how bad her pneumonia was. And so just that next day, I wake up and my dad's in the kitchen hunched over and he's saying his stomach's burning. So I'm like, what is going on? So I end up driving him to the same hospital my sister was at. And so basically over that weekend, my dad just progressively got worse and worse. And so they ended up basically letting us know that my dad had perforated in his stomach, which basically just means in the inner part of his upper stomach opened up and was leaking out into the outward part of still the inner part of his stomach. And he was going septic, which if you look up septic, that is very, very bad. Not many people live post that. And so my dad's, you know, in his 50s, very overweight. And they're just kind of telling us to be prepared for the worst, that he probably would not make it through this. And then at the same time, my sister was battling pneumonia, but she started to get better. But then out of nowhere, she started going like south really badly and quickly. Uh-huh. And so we ended up kind of having this conversation with me and my mom. And I remember us sitting there and just struggling, man, through what does this look like? What happens next? Preparing for the worst for my dad, but not necessarily my sister, because my sister's young. She's 27. She has pneumonia. She's had pneumonia before, right?
Yeah.
And I still remember that morning of June 2nd, 2015. My mom and I got a call from the hospital. My mom came into my room, and I just could tell, you know, your mom's tone of voice. Mm-hmm. And I could tell from the tone of her voice something was wrong. So I got up from bed. We started rushing to the hospital, and she said, hey, the nurse said, call them back. Can you call them? Because my mom was driving. So I call them and I say, hey, this is Carlos. What's going on? What's happening? Which they end up telling me that it's Amanda, which is my sister. And so I hear Amanda. My mom starts losing it into the car because we're expecting them to say it's my dad. So we end up getting to the hospital that morning of June 2nd. And my sister's heart had basically collapsed from trying to keep up with her bleeding within her lungs because there's so much liquid. And so Amanda ended up passing away and going to be with the Lord June 2nd. And while we're sitting there with her in the room in the ICU, just across the way is my father in another ICU room hooked up to all these machines. And he's basically fighting for his life and we don't know if he's going to make it. And so it's just this crazy like situation of two family members severely ill. One passed away, the other on his way. And it was in that moment. I remember I went into the bathroom and just kind of got on my knees. And again, I grew up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I knew God, I believed in God, but I never followed God. And so I just remember falling on my knees and saying like, God, I don't think if my dad passes away, we can handle this or we can take this. And I still remember kind of having that conversation with God. And, you know, now that I think back, it was almost one of those, you know, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you type conversation, right? And I just remember saying, God, like, please save my dad, spare him from this. I promise, like, I'm yours, whatever that may look like. And again, I didn't have any idea what that would look like. And so basically ended up having that prayer. It went for this like month-long process, just to shorten up the story a little bit. My dad got transferred out to U of M in Ann Arbor, and like just got completely healed, Bonnie, like everything. And so I remember the doctors at U of M were like, I don't know how your dad is alive. Mm-hmm. And obviously my mom and family responded, we know. You know, God kept him alive. Yeah. Just prayer, everybody praying, man. And so through that process, I started to seek Jesus and trying to figure out what does this look like to follow. And again, it was a process. Yeah. I was not there. I was starting to get back into my old ways and drinking and smoking, and got back to my comfort zone, got back to Lansing. When my dad, you know, got out of the hospital, and I just went right back to the same group of friends, started living that life I was living, you know, prior to that. And so really, man, it just was a moment of, I remember I was driving, and I tell people this, which is just crazy how good God is, but, you know, drove drunk and high all the time when I was not following Jesus. And I was driving drunk and high one night home, and this was prior to everything that year. And I remember I was almost off the highway where I lived, and I felt like God was next to me in the passenger seat. Right. And nothing can sober you up quicker than that, right? and I just feel this, like through the Spirit, however you want to audibly, whatever, God say to me, like, why are you back in this place? Mm-hmm. Why are you trying to fill this void with this pain, like through things that you know never will, and I only can? And I was rocked. And I remember going home, going to sleep, sitting on it, woke up the next day. It's Sunday morning. My parents are like, hey, we're watching a sermon. Come watch the sermon with us. I'm like, oh, man. So I go and sit down and literally sit down, Bonnie, and the pastor's preaching. And right there, boom, sit down. And he says, I want to talk to you Christians who say you're Christian. Uh-huh. And I kind of perk up like, what's he going with this? And he said, if you were to die today, would Jesus look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant? And I just felt this wave of like, he wouldn't. And so went up to my room, fell to my knees, made that decision to say, I want to follow you. I'm going to surrender my life to you. I know I kind of had that conversation with you at the hospital, and that's when it started. Right. But now I'm ready to let you change my life. And so from there, man, that's kind of where it flowed into. Not that much longer after that, I felt like God tugging on my heart and saying, hey, I want you to go into ministry. Mm. And then good old Great Lakes.
That's amazing. So yeah, that took us back to where we started from at Great Lakes. But no, I appreciate you sharing that story. And I know revisiting those memories can be hard sometimes, but your story might change somebody else's life out there who is listening. Somebody who maybe has lost hope, somebody who is going through that right now, and somebody who has questions in their lives. And I like to use this platform to also like help people's lives. And I really, really appreciate you sharing that. And it's deep, it's tough, but I want people to hear different stories of how people give their lives to Christ. And I share my own story here every time I have somebody talk about it. And I grew up in a poor family, and we would steal things every day, every time. But I would hide it from my parents, because my dad's a pastor. My mom is like the Sunday school teacher, and they were teaching me about God. So at home, I knew God and I was doing everything. But when I go to play with my friends, that's when we could steal. And I mentioned this, that I don't try to make my stealing like look like a good thing, but we were poor and we needed something. Like, you know, and you know your parents is not gonna buy it for you, so you go steal it. But one day I got caught stealing, and this guy, he told me, I'm forgiving you and I don't want you to do this again. And those words reminded me of the grace of God, that we're seen as we deserve to be punished, because at that time they called me stealing, they would take me to the police station and have the policemen beat me up. But he said, I'm forgiving you and I don't want you to do this again. And I was like, dude, this guy forgive me. And I went and told my mom what had happened.
Yeah.
So my mom was disappointed at first because she was like, I've been doing a good job teaching my son about Jesus.
Yeah.
Why is he stealing? And we never knew about this because at home I would hide it.
Of course.
At home I would pray. We would do everything. Yeah. And my parents say, oh, well, we raise good kids. And but I told her, and I gave my life to Christ. And she prayed with me and gave my life to Christ. And but some of the things that helped me remember is just like, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, like Hebrews 13:5, like keep yourselves free from the love of money and be content with what you have. It's like, for me, when I was younger, we were poor. I wanted more. I wanted a lot of these things.
Of course.
But when God is reminding me, like, just be content with what you have and I'll provide for you. And he did that. God provided for me. I didn't, even when I made a decision to stop stealing, like he would provide for me. He would help. We'll get food. We'll get clothes. So that helped me to know that God will always take care of me, and he's been taking care of me ever since I came to America. One dude at work, the FAA guy showed up. I work at the airplane. He showed up to look at my license and like, hey, you're working on our planes. We now want to make sure everything is right. So he shows up. He asked me, how are you Ugandan? How did you come to America? I tell him all the stories. And he was like, oh, so yeah. And then he sees my computer. There's a picture of my daughter. It's like, ah. And then he sees my license. My license has an old address from Ionia.
Yeah.
He's like, is that your current address? I was like, no, I just bought a house in Portland. He's like, you bought a house? You have a child? How long have you been in America? And I told him, like, I came 2014. So 2014, you have a job, you have a house, you have a child. And that's the time I reflected on everything. I'm like, wow, God has been faithful. Like, God has really took care of me because I didn't know where I was going to be. Like, even after Great Lakes, I didn't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. But it's always good to know that God will always take care of you and he'll provide for you.
That's incredible to see where he's brought you. It's incredible. Yeah.
So one of the other things I meant to talk to you about, you're a family guy. You have beautiful kids. And
my controlled chaos, as I call it.
You told me a crazy story last Sunday, which I'll talk to you about. But like, yeah, your kids, it's always fun to see them in the summer doing stuff, doing activities. It's great to be to see you be a father and be present in the kids' lives. And for me, now that I have my daughter too, I look up to some of my friends like exactly like you. Oh, I know Carlos, so I look up to you. I see how he takes care of his family and all that. How has it been for you, your family, and having those little ones?
Yeah, man. Well, you're an amazing dad.
Yeah,
hey, man, for real, I'm proud of you. That's amazing to see you step into that role. It's been very cool too. So definitely kudos to you. So it's an amazing thing, bro. It's a blessing. I truly would not be who I am without my wife and kids. And I always tell my young adults, which is a ministry I lead over. I always tell my young adults, I would not be becoming who I am if it wasn't for my family. And I think truly you really learn, you learn your strengths, you learn your weaknesses. You are challenged and I think even more equipped to be who God created you to be when you have kids.
Yeah.
I think the kids show me the things I need to work on, show me the areas where I'm lacking. But also just, I think being able to be a father is something for me that I was always excited about.
Uh-huh.
I love my children. I love being able to give them a life, that really lets them know that they can be like safe and loved. And I think we kind of miss out on those things. I think some people don't. I know some people who don't have that.
Right.
And to be able to give my kids a home, to give them a family, to give them that comfort that a lot of kids in this world do not have, I know it's a privilege and it's an honor. It's for me, I can, as my wife says, you know, my overflow does affect my children. And so if I'm not being the father that they deserve and that I'm called to be, it does affect my household and it affects my kids. And I think for me, it's a weight that we carry as the men of the household that we need to be intentional about the way that we are leading, the way that we are loving, the way that we are teaching. And so it is, man, I'm honored. I'm very grateful for it. I know there's some people who can't even have that ability to have children.
Yeah.
And so I'm very grateful that God has blessed me with kids, allowed us to have three beautiful kids. But yeah, man, it's challenging. Yeah. It's challenging and great all at the same time, man.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's crazy. And people ask me about fatherhood all the time, but I tell them that there's no better way to prepare for fatherhood. It's like learning on the job. Like, you're just going to go, yep, and you're going to figure it out as you go. Yep. And that's one of the areas that I really like to talk about and just learn, just being a new father, just being in my kid's life and doing the best I can to be a great example of how God wants me to be in her life.
Yep.
And mostly patience. I think for me, so when we first had Isla, I feel bad because I was like, I needed a lot of patience because she would cry and you're like, Isla, I've tried everything. Like, I've tried, what do you want? Like, she can't talk. And I just get pissed. And Emily would be like, Bunny, just, it's fine. Just, but that patience, like, I had to learn that patience. Yeah. Like, just do it. And I remember one time she cried so much that I took out of the living room. I came down here and I was just praying. I was just like, I've tried everything.
I know those moments.
And I was just like, I was just praying, God, will you help this girl just keep quiet or tell me what's wrong with her or something? And it's like 30 minutes. And then the other day was the most hurtful thing for me was when we took her to get our first shots. The vaccine. Yeah. Oh my God. Tough, she cried. She cried for like 30 minutes straight. And I was feeling bad because I was like, I wish I could take some of this pain for you, but I cannot. You're going to have to go through it. Yeah. And that's my toughest point. But like, what is it for you about fatherhood? Yeah. That what lesson have you learned through the process?
Yeah. I think for me, truly, I've said this over and over again, remembering that when it comes to my relationship with God as my heavenly father, I've kind of struggled with that idea of all of us grow up, you know, being taught from our parents. And again, there's a good heart behind it of if you do this, there's a consequence. If you don't do it, then there's a reward. Right. But that's not how God works at all.
Right.
God loves us, shows grace to us. Even when we mess up, he still cares for us. And I think I've been challenged in learning that even though sometimes I want to have a firm, you know, firm discipline, or I'm a little quick to, you know, discipline in that way because of something they did wrong, God doesn't do that to me. God loves me. God cares for me. God is still there with me even when I mess up. And I think trying to learn that balance of discipline and grace, and that's something where I've been challenged of, I don't want my kids to just feel like, well, when I mess up, it's just, you know, discipline and I get in trouble and that's just the immediate response from my dad. Rather, it's, hey, there's correction, which I also am going to be held accountable by God of how I'm correcting and leading my children. But then I also want them to know that first off, hey, I love you. I'm here for you. My love for you will never change. I hope you hear that first. But then number two, there is a consequence to our actions. And so I think trying to learn that I'm overly letting them know that I love them, I care about them, my thoughts towards them never change. But you're still about to get a whooping. Hey, there's still consequences to things that you do. Again, as all of us too, even as adults. Yeah. I mean, I have consequences to my choices. God isn't just going to, you know, be okay with me just continuing to do things that aren't who he calls me to be. So I think for that, learning how to balance that, like, kids need to know that they're loved and that that isn't going anywhere just because they've done something wrong. And I don't want them to think that's the way God works, because it isn't. God is unconditional in his love. And I want to reflect my heavenly father as their earthly father. I want them to see him in me and not just look at me and say, I want nothing to do with God because I saw these things in my dad. And my dad was someone who said he loves Jesus. That would be the most heartbreaking thing to me. So
that's one thing I was going to ask you, if like things you saw from your dad that you want to pass on to your kids. Definitely, like for me, one of the things I really like, and like my dad, how they brought me up knowing Christ. That's one of the number one things I really want to. They didn't push it in my face. Like, they didn't force me to believe in God. They kind of just played their part, talked to me, and I kind of made my own decision. And I tell people, like, even though I was born in a Christian home, my dad's a pastor, I had to make that decision for myself. So that's the thing I want to, like, to just do my best. Having a child actually has made me, like, look through my life, because sometimes I don't want Isla to see me do this. Like, this is going to be a good example for her. Like, just double check yourself. Double check what you do.
Do you feel like with Isla, because I have two daughters. Yeah. I have two daughters and a son. You have a daughter. Mm-hmm. Would you say with a daughter, is there things that you feel more either challenged on, or you feel like these are areas I want to be intentional about because I'm raising a girl? Is there anything in that, you know, that you felt?
I think for me, it's, and we've talked about, and this is like far away till she gets there, but like, I think it's having boyfriends and stuff. Because for us, when we were growing up, you tell your parents you have a boyfriend, holy, you're going to get some whoopings. Not even the parents, it's school. In school, like, you say you're dating somebody, like, you're supposed to be here for school. No, you didn't come to school to get a wife. You came to school.
Getting that ruler.
You came to school. But I was just thinking, if for her relationship, or like, if she gets to a part where she's going to have a boyfriend, I don't want to decide for her, like, choose for her, oh, you're going to you're gonna date this person. But I kind of want her to know her worth. Mm-hmm. You know, I want her to know that her life does not depend on a man, or like, she needs to know her worth and just not be mistreated all. And I want the respect, because if I'm the kind of person who likes respecting people, and
of course
I respect anybody, no matter your age, no matter where you come from, no matter your, so that's what I want, another person to respect my daughter. And that's one of the things I want to teach her. Because for a guy, for a boy, there's a way we figure out stuff. Like, you know, growing up, you know, no, you won't do that to me, or you can't do that to me. So for the guy, there's a way to that. But for my daughter, I want her to know her worth, first of all, and to know that, like, life does not depend on another person. Or, you know, sometimes we grow up and think, what am I going to do without this person in my life, or this person? I just want her to know that. So, for me, it's more in that area of her knowing who she is. And because most girls, and this I speak out of what I think, or what I've seen from other people, is like, especially from Uganda, most girls are taken advantage of because they are poor. You know, like, some dude comes with a bunch of money and he can do whatever he wants to the girl. Like, even to the point of going to the girl's family to, like, hey, how much money do you want? I'm taking your daughter, and just take your daughter like that, you know? Or like a girl, she grew up in a poor family and she just want a better life. And then she'll just go with any person and, like, they treat her not nice. She loses her worth because she's poor. And that's the area that I really want to correct. Like, nothing is equal to your life or who you are.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, man. And I mean, that's... I can't imagine being in situations like that. And I think truly it all starts from the home.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think she is going to see the way you treat her mom. And the way you treat her mom will impact the type of man she looks for.
Yeah.
And I think that's, again, another weight that we carry. Our sons, Lord willing, if you have one day, little Bonnie Jr. You know, our...
Actually, that's a name we're going to give the son if we have
it. You got it, bro. You got to go Bonnie Jr. Bonnie Jr. I love it. But, you know, my son, he's going to treat women on the way he saw me treat his mother. And so we're trying to instill... we're trying to instill that into them, right? We want to teach them that this is how you treat your spouse. This is how you do life, you know, as a family. And I think, again, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect all the time, but that impacts your kids. What do they see at home? How do they see dad talk to mom? How do they see mom talk to dad? Is there love in the home? Is there respect? Is there care and intentionality behind how we use our words and how we act towards one another? And I think that's huge. It feels repetitive, as we say all the time. I feel like I'm telling my kids over and over again the same things. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. Do this. But again, I want them to learn what it looks like to be a husband one day, to be a father one day, to be a mother one day, to be a wife one day, to be someone that is not just going to cause hurt and pain and trauma that can flow from a household. Mm. All of us have friends who come from those households, and you see the impact it has on them as adults. Mm-hmm. And it impacts them in their marriage. And so I think for me, good and bad, I talk about this a lot with people who are married or people who are parents. We see when we get married and when we become parents, we see some of those things that we picked up from our parents, mm-hmm. good or bad. Mm-hmm. But they stick with us. They impact us. They help shape us into who we will be as a father, or mother, you know, or husband and wife one day. And I think that's why we have to be super intentional with how we live, mm-hmm. and how we lead our family. And especially, as we say, like the men, how are you spiritually leading your wife? How are you spiritually leading your kids? Because it's going to overflow into them, and it's going to impact them for good or bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing for me is when you get older and you realize, like, man, I just sounded just like my dad. Like, I just did that just like my dad. Those are those moments of like, it does. It sticks with you. It does. It shapes you. It shapes you into who you become.
That's crazy. You mentioned that. So recently I just started wearing glasses. Oh, yeah, you saw me on Sunday. And when I was at the eye doctor, they gave me some of these glasses to try on, and I wear them. It's like, oh my God, I look like my dad.
You gotta go. You gotta go bald like me.
I called my dad. I told him, "Hey, they gave me these glasses. I wore them. I just looked like you, and I took them off right away." And my dad was like, "What do you mean? Am I ugly or something?"
Yeah, he's like, "What are you trying to say? Is that a good thing?"
Yeah.
No, Dad, you're a stud, man. No, man.
Carlos, I really like talking to you, and mm-hmm. like we could talk a lot. We could talk for the whole mm-hmm. day, but I don't want to keep you for so long.
Yeah.
But I have a few questions that I've been asking people.
Yeah.
When they come on the podcast. What has been the best advice that you've ever received from somebody?
Mm. Man, so much. So many. Yeah. I think truly something from my mentor, you know, I'll give him a shout out, Pastor Chase. Pastor our lead Chase. Pastor has been he's been a huge mentor and impact in my life, helped equip me, helped teach me, helped lead me in many, many ways. I think something that he's always saying and something that we talk about a lot is, and you'll hear him say this many times, following Jesus is simple, but not easy. And I think unpacking that, as we've had conversations around that idea so many times, of following Jesus is simple in the sense of we know how we're called to live. Uh-huh. We know who we're supposed to be. He's revealed it in his word. He's given us his teachings and commands. The hard part is choosing to do it, right? Choosing to follow him, choosing to be who he calls us to be. And I think truly that right there is the heart behind it all. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a husband who reflects him, to be a dad who reflects him? Following him is simple. Choosing to be a follower of Jesus is putting your faith in Jesus. Nothing more to it, right? Uh-huh. Simple as that. But it's not easy. And I think sometimes it's in those not easy times that we tend to either choose the route that we shouldn't, uh-huh. or we tend to maybe fall into habits that we shouldn't. And I think it's in those moments we need to lean more into Jesus, lean more into who he is, to become more of who he created us to be. So yeah, I think following Jesus is simple, but it's not easy, but it's always worth it.
That's a good advice. What has been the worst advice you've ever received?
The way you looked when you brought it up, I'm like, he's about to ask it. Oh, man. I mean, honestly, should I say Drizzy Drake, YOLO? I think the worst advice was always, I think back when I was living how I was living, man, it's that constant reminder of like, do you, bro. Mm-hmm. Like if it's what you like, do you. Do you know, whatever makes you happy, right? Yeah. That YOLO, you only live once, right?
I was gonna tell you, like, for me the worst advice is like a YOLO, because somebody says that.
Oh yeah.
And you only live once. I'm like, yeah, I only live once. Let me just do it.
Do what you want, bro. But I mean, that's just horrible advice, right? It will impact everything if you're living from that place. Yeah, I think that was a mentality I was stuck in for a long time of like, do you do mm-hmm. whatever you like, do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. is selfish, it's self-centered, it's only about me. Yeah. And that's not, that's just not how we're called to live, to be someone who is focused on what is about you and how you can be happy. That so is this is horrible advice. Horrible advice. Drake, man, come on, Drake, be better. Be better, bro.
The other question I have for you is, what's your favorite holiday movie?
Oof. Holiday movie, that's a tough one. You know, it's funny though, because my wife and I started this tradition each year in Christmas time, we watch Harry Potter.
Okay.
And so we do this, the whole Harry Potter movie marathon. So each night we'll watch through the 8 movies. It's like become our Christmas holiday movie, which is hilarious because it's Harry Potter. You know, Harry Potter's got some Christmas in it, right? Yeah. In the change of seasons. But truly, man, that is like something we covet. It is something that we always intentionally do. And truly, I think for me, it's more of the atmosphere that comes around it. We go down in our basement, we shut the lights off, we have popcorn, we hang out. It's time with my wife. So truly, I think it's become Harry Potter, which is probably the weirdest thing. Prior to that, honestly, man, I love, I loved A Christmas Story.
Yeah,
me Christmas and my Story, sister used to watch that like on repeat because they'd always show it on TNT. Yeah. So me and my sister always had it on during Christmas. So like that always brings one out. Honestly, I think even my kids have started to watch Grinch, the Jim Carrey one.
Yeah.
That's one of my like favorite holiday movies. Grinch always just is incredible and funny. But how about you though? I need to hear this now from you.
I was going
to
say, because I usually ask these people, but they never ask me. So I grew up in Uganda. We don't. Yeah. Christmas is all about eating. We like me.
Yeah, food. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, so we would go to church Christmas. We'll go to church, but it doesn't take away that you cooked a meal at home. After church, you're going to go home and eat your food.
You're going to grow.
And that's it.
Got to eat good. Real quick, let me interrupt you. What would be, because I'm very curious, because I don't know Ugandan food, so kabukas in Uganda, bring me out. I'm trying to eat. What would you guys be eating like in Christmas? What's it look like? So what's the spread?
On Christmas Day is when you cook like a huge, it's like a Thanksgiving meal.
I want
so like we have rice, we have, it's called matoke, it's a some type of banana, it's a spice of banana, that a different species, not
two,
spice.
Two things we like.
Yeah, but rice, this one is
platanos not, would be ours.
The banana does not go yellow. It's not the one that goes yellow. It's it's green and you peel it and then you cook it and then they make it like mashed potato. So that
you put like spices and stuff in it, or just
it's just that, like that. Just but that. You have to eat it with some sauce, like either beef. So then they cook beef, they fry beef with some curry and seasoning, and then we can have beef, you can have chicken, and then you can have we have something they call ground nuts. So it's like the same ground nuts we eat in the roasted one, but these ones are grinded and they make into like a paste. So, like, you eat that with it. It's really good.
I'm ready.
I think Emily didn't like it when we went to Uganda. So, we have that.
She's like, not mashed potatoes. This is not mashed potatoes.
You can have greens. You can have something called chapati. So, every nice food, you're going to make it on Christmas Day.
You have to.
And then you're going
to
have, like, 5 different kinds of food. And then that's the time we would drink soda.
Yeah.
Because we... Like, people would not believe, but like in Uganda, you wouldn't just walk through the shop and buy soda. You would be weird. Like, this guy just drinking soda? We drink soda on Easter, Christmas, you know, like.
That's crazy.
And that was special for that. I mean, things have changed. Yeah, they have changed now, I think. People will listen to this and like, oh, you're lying. No, like back in the day, like when we were younger, that was the thing. And always get excited to drink soda.
You guys got the whole family there.
Yep. So that's the other thing. Like, we have the whole family. Like, my family used to bring my cousins, everybody. So we meet at my grandma's house. And then we have... but I remember we used to have, like, the VCR.
VCR.
So we would watch some movies. I remember one Christmas we watched Titanic. Titanic is not a Christmas movie.
That's what I'm saying. It's Harry Potter, though.
Yeah.
I think you just pick what you want.
So we watched Titanic. But there are some Christmases where we watch Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too. My son loves that one.
So I would say if somebody would ask me, I would pick Home Alone.
Yeah.
But ever since I came to America, I'd never seen The Grinch till I came here. So I watched The Grinch. And then recently, it's been The Christmas Story because...
You're going to shoot your eye out, kid.
The last two Christmases, we've gone to Emily's grandparents, and that is showing every day, all day.
Repeat.
So my favorite scene is when they're carrying the fragile thing. Oh, when the kid puts his tongue on the pole.
Bro, I think my favorite is and I don't remember his name, the little brother. His mom just wraps him into all the coats, and he looks like the Michelin Man. He can't put his arm down. He's just walking covered up. I'm like, bro, this is great. That's a great movie. It's not a repeat, but it is. It's a classic.
Yeah, so I'm just now started getting into the Christmas edition. Yeah. Let me ask you this real quick. Actually, just came up. What do you do for Christmas tradition with your kids about Santa?
About Santa. I mean, Kelly, I keep telling... Listen, I love you, Kelly, but listen, I'm more on the side of like, tell him Santa ain't real. He ain't real.
I am like that too.
He ain't real. I'm not... First off, who bought those? Who worked to pay for those gifts? Not Santa. That's your dad and mom. And I'm like, I'm not putting Santa on that gift.
Yeah,
he's not getting credit. But we did it for a little bit. Honestly, my son, like, he figured it out pretty quickly. Okay. And then we kind of said to him, like, don't tell the kids at school because they'll ruin it for them. Even though I'm like, tell them Santa. But yeah, I'm on the side of like, they're young enough, whatever. Santa, cool, you know. But yeah, my wife is like, we're going to do one gift from Santa. I'm like, usually it's the pajamas. So we have that tradition where my wife buys the same set of pajamas for all of us, and we take a family photo on Christmas Eve. That's the gift we all open. Mm-hmm. So usually that one is from Santa, and I'm like, whatever, Santa. You got us pajamas. Thanks. Ho, ho, ho. You know? But I'm just like, he is not getting credit for our gifts. So no, man, I'm more on the end of like, whatever. If we're doing it when they're younger, eventually they will say like my son basically hit the point of like he looked at me and said Santa's not real. I'm like, so I'm not gonna lie to him, but I feel like I'm lying.
I'm like that too. I'm like, I think for me I'm biased because I didn't grow up with that, like nobody lied to me, and the fact that I found out it's pointless, it's just I don't know. So I struggle with it, but Emma is like, this is a tradition. Oh, we've been doing this in America.
It is tradition.
So I'm like, okay,
it's a tradition for us to lie to our kids. Keep lying to each generation. It's a great tradition.
I'm like, no, I don't. I would, if it was up to me, I wouldn't do it.
No,
but sometimes.
You're like, nah. Did you guys have anything like that in Uganda?
No,
like no, like you guys had like any? I guess yeah. Like, was there any? Like, you know, we got the elf in the shelf, which I've never done that one. It's just
so the funny thing is, I was in high school and I wanted Arsenal jerseys.
Yeah.
Oh, for Christmas? No, it wasn't even for Christmas. I spent a holiday at my uncle's place. My uncle had been in America.
Yeah.
He lived in Louisiana for a while.
Yeah.
So he knew about the American tradition of Christmas. Of course. And this time he was in Uganda for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was at his house. So he asked me, Bonnie, what do you want for Christmas? I was like, what do you mean? Because we'd never receive gift for Christmas. Yeah. What do you want from Santa?
He's like, Santa?
Who is Santa? Like, what is Santa?
Like, so my uncle? Know?
Yeah. Like, and then I remember going back home as I asked my buddies, like, hey, who is Santa?
Yeah.
My uncle asked me to ask Santa anything. I was like, who is Santa? I asked my dad. My dad, he also didn't seem like he knew a lot about it. But then my uncle told me. So I was like, oh, I want Arsenal jerseys. And then he bought some jerseys for me. These are from Santa, but we
these
did.
Are from Santa.
But and I was like, I think at the time I was like, 17 years old. I'm like,
this is weird.
Kind of like, I don't
know.
It's
weird, man.
So I see it's pointless.
Yeah, agreed.
The other holiday, Halloween, is, I don't know. I don't really care about it.
I know, but that one I don't either. I feel like that one I've kind of, I approach it as, do whatever the kids want to dress up. It's the candy part, which I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I like the candy and but costumes.
Yeah, the costume cool. But then you get, you know, you got some Christians are like, it's a no go.
I'll tell you a story. I wanted to wrap it up, but I'll tell you a quick story. The first year I was in America, I was in Alabama, and they had a costume party. So everybody dressed up
in
costume.
Alabama,
yeah,
in the South.
I lived in Alabama for a year. That was underwater. sorry, my Alabama people, I love you. I was at Bible College there, Southeastern Bible College, and we had a costume party. I posted pictures on Facebook. My aunt, right in the comments, she was like, Bonnie, we don't celebrate Halloween. It's for evil people. The Americans are changing you. You're changed. Oh, my
God. Oh, I've heard it.
The way people back home think about America, I won't even start it on podcast, but like the, when I was coming to America, we'll do that today. Every aunt was taking me to the house and just give you a 1 hour message. Bunny, you're going to America? Then let them change you. Just be like, Bunny, in America, there's this and this and this. So when they saw the picture of the Halloween,
it brought it all out.
I didn't do anything evil. We just dressed
up.
All
right, you got to give me at least, you can't bring that up and not give me one. What would be the one consistent theme or the consistent thing that was brought up by your aunts on America to like look out for, be careful of? I want to hear it. I don't hear it. I got to hear it. I'll put him on the spot.
Put him on the hot spot. No, it was about like gay. Like actually, like, yep. That was the main thing.
That was the main one, yeah.
And that was the main thing.
Yeah.
And actually, I remember you hit me on Instagram one time, asked me my opinion about that, but
yeah.
I don't think I'll go into it. I'll tell you about it. But
yeah.
For most people who know, yeah. Uganda actually right now banned like gay rights. Like you can't be gay in Uganda. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Like you go to prison or something like that. But yeah, that was the thing. Everybody will put you aside, Bunny. Don't let them turn you into this or become this person or this person. Everybody was worried about that. Mm-hmm. And
so they probably got nervous when they saw me and you's Chick-fil-A photo.
I guess. No.
This is my buddy Carlos.
It's funny because my dad and mom, they know who I am.
Yeah,
they know they raised me and they know I know what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those outside people that don't really know me or like they're trying to look out for me, but I understand. But some people are so extreme.
Of course.
Some people take to another level. But all right. I'm gonna ask you three questions now. Ready? What is a life lesson that you've learned in life to this point?
Life lesson I've learned to this point. I think honestly, kind of going off of what you just were talking about, I think for me, concerning like the Christian faith and believers and all that, I think a conversation I've had a lot with people over and over again is we should love so well that people can't help but wonder who loves us. And I think we lack in the love category. And I think it's that conversation I have so much of people know what Christians are against, but they don't know what we're for. We're so concerned with talking about what we are against that people don't even know what Christians are for. What's Jesus for? You know, Jesus is for love, grace, mercy, all these amazing things that Jesus showed on the daily. And I think something I've just learned is that of you brought it up, which I appreciate those words. That means a lot. I think for me, what are people going to say about me when I'm not here anymore? Are people going to say, man, he talked well, or he preached well, you know, which again, appreciate that. But like, I want people to see Jesus when they see me. Uh-huh. I want them to, see his love pour out of my life. And I think just that thought of loving people so well that they can't help but wonder who loves you. People should see the way we live and see how different it is because the God of the universe lives in us and we know him, that people can't help but ask us, who's Jesus? Mm-hmm. What is so different about you that is so different than me or different than people in my life? How do you have joy and peace through every situation? Mm-hmm. And I think just for me, kind of learning that in life, because I've been through a lot in life, which I could look at as why did I go through all these things, this pain and trauma and hurt? But God has used it all. He has had purpose in the pain and given me a platform to praise him in it. And I think that's just an incredible thing to be able to be used by God, even in those things that the world looks at as that's horrible. Why would he do that? He's not a good God. He is a good God because he works all things together for the good of those that he loves. And, just being someone that's known by the way that you love and care for people. So, yeah.
It reminded me of the song, We Are Christians, and they will know we're Christians by our love.
Yeah.
We are one in the spirit. We are one in the soul. and the other line said, they will know we are Christians by your love.
Yeah.
By your love. Yes, they know we are Christian, but my dad used to sing that song every morning. Like he sings that. The other question I have for you, what gets you excited about life?
Gets me excited about life. I think, honestly, it goes back to what we talked about. I think for me, I'm a very very goal-driven person. I'm always looking for what's next. I think I've been trying to learn how to be a little bit more content in the season of life. But I think what excites me is being able to do what God created me to do. I'm very grateful to have a job. I don't even like using that word because it doesn't feel like a job to me. It's a calling. Yeah. To be able to do what I love as my job is incredible. Mm-hmm. And that excites me every single day. To be able to be a part of God's story, to be firsthand witnessing people's lives be transformed by Jesus, and me just playing a part in it is incredible, because it has nothing to do with me. It's not anything I'm doing. It's what Jesus is doing through me. And I think being able to just be a pastor who's creating these, just being able to create spaces and environments for people to connect to Jesus and connect to other people. Mm-hmm. Going through what we went through this last 2-3 years, man, COVID, like, people need community. Mm-hmm. And Jesus gives the best community, in my opinion. Yeah. And just being able to be a part of that, and just witnessing people have those light bulb effects, as you may have, you know, being in school, and so many times in class, you know, you'd hear those lectures and something would be taught and you're like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. That never made sense before, and now it does. And I think just being able to walk with people and to teach them and to show them who Jesus is through scripture, not through someone else, not through something they think or feel, but what his word says, and to see those light bulb effects that the Holy Spirit gives where people are like, I get it, and I want to follow Jesus, is incredible, man. We had a really cool moment recently in our one of our Bible studies, and I just kind of sat back, and I went upstairs later after everybody left, and I looked at my wife and I said, that's like what it's all about. This is what it's about. Being able to see people's lives changed forever by Jesus, and being able to just be a part of it, for him even allowing me to be a part of it, that like excites me, to see people put their faith in Christ and their lives be transformed forever, for the trajectory of their soul to be changed forever. Now being able to be together in heaven forever when we leave this earth is just, that excites me, man.
That's amazing. And I'm the same way. I love seeing people's lives change. And especially if I'm part of that, like helping somebody know about God, change their ways, change their behaviors, change their environment, or change to for the better, not to change them to the worst, but like change them for the better. That's something that I'm passionate about. And we've been talking about different ways on how we can help the people back in Uganda and through serving with them, and that's something that it's in the works. But to begin with my podcast, like, it's just something I want to do, talk with people so we can help another person know about God, know about career, know about something, you know. Like, I like that, and that gets me excited too. So
you're
like
doing a great job at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One thing that I came back to my mind that I remembered when we were at Great Lakes, one memory. So we played soccer and we didn't have enough people to play. I reached out to my homeboy Carlos. I was like, Carlos, we need some players. Carlos was like, oh man, I'm so busy, but I might come through Monday. Let me see. Just, and I recruited Carlos to come play soccer with us, but Carlos never showed up.
Bro, listen, my wife plays soccer in high school. We'll give you a little background. My wife played soccer in high school. She's a great soccer player. Our first date, I played baseball, she played soccer. Yeah. We were just getting to know each other. She said the question, if there was one sport, you could get rid of forever, what would it be? And I was like, oh, soccer, easily. Like 100%. I was like, it's the worst sport. I definitely would get rid of it. And she's sitting there and she's like, And I was like, not knowing that this is like her sport.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what about you? And she's like, oh, baseball. And I was like, oh.
She didn't know you play baseball.
She knew. She did that one as a little bit of a, she's like, oh, it's baseball. But she does hate baseball.
Yeah.
And it was one of those like first days. But no, man, truly, I don't, my sport, Bonnie, we ran for punishment. The only time we ran was to be punished. And so to play a sport that the punishment is the sport, I'm like, why would I do that to myself? Why would I run that much? And it's like, listen, I got respect. My best friend growing up, he played soccer at Michigan State, incredible soccer player. I started trying to get, I've tried my best to get into it. Honestly, the World Cup, this last World Cup, incredible. Yeah. Probably some of the my favorite soccer games I've ever watched. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I don't know how you run.
Right.
And that's fun. Because I don't run for fun. Right.
That's a good answer. That's good. That's a good to think about like that.
Soccer is a bit, is that a big thing in Uganda?
Yeah, soccer is a huge. Big thing. Yeah, we grew up playing soccer. That's why, I don't know if you can see, but like up in my... The thing, there's a brown thing in there.
Yeah.
That's a soccer ball that we used to play. So it's just in my memories. Like when we were little, we would make it out of the banana plantation. So we
drive. So that is made out of that right there?
That's made out of the banana plantation.
That's incredible, so man.
I put it in there. Yeah. And soccer. That's why in basement, all the jerseys up there, it's all.
I know, that's why I'm feeling
all,
sick.
It's all soccer.
That's why I'm feeling sick.
Carlos, I have a final question for you for the podcast. This is a signature question.
Yeah.
Who would you like to see on this podcast next? Somebody you've not seen on my podcast or you would love to hear a story. Somebody that I can access to come to this place to share their story.
Maybe Drake, to ask him why he said YOLO. No, man. Honestly, dude, I think I know I'm trying to think of someone who's even within our circle. I mean, truly, I brought him up. I think someone like a Chase would be fun to chit-chat with. Chase, I think Pastor Chase would be fun to chit-chat with, pick his brain a little bit. But yeah, I think having him be able to speak in some areas and some things that, you know, would be cool, I think, to be able to hear his perspective. Yeah. But yeah, I think that'd be someone within our circle. That'd be pretty
Chase
cool.
Chase did our wedding, actually. I don't know if you knew that.
That's what I thought, yeah. Which is incredible. I know, I think him and I have had conversations about this podcast life, man. It is a cool thing. I have a couple, three, honestly, I would love for you to link up with. I got three of my young adults, Damien, Johnny, and Jackson. Shout out to them. True to Life Podcast. Yeah. They started doing that for a while, man, and I think they'd be super cool for you to link up with.
That would be amazing. I would love to do that.
So, I think they would be hyped to do that with you. So
we'll definitely. We should. I would love to share anything, talk about God, and share my story, because that's the whole reason I'm up. God has helped me a lot, and I wouldn't shy away from sharing that.
100%.
That's what I do every day.
Yeah.
So, Carlos, we've come to the end of this podcast. Man. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you, man.
For making the time to be here.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. It's always fun. It's always fun to chit-chat with you, my Ugandan boy. I was going to wear the shirt I got from you a while back, and I was like, it don't fit anymore. It's a little too tight. I appreciate you, man. Praying for you. Thankful for you. The Kabuka family is a blessing to me, so we love you, brother.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Hey there. This is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast, because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much, and be blessed.